What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 220th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. I am your host, SBJ, and with me is Travis.
You know, this whole Mixlr thing is really ruining my normal rhythm. Normally, I make some joke that... Normally, we all make a lot of jokes that we would never make in front of other people. And even though you told me, hey, we're going on Mixlr now, I forgot about that. And so now I'm still a little shaken by the middle school joke I made about 2 minutes ago.
I always like to imagine that, you know, Travis has been on since like 31. So we're 220 now minus 30 episodes. You've been on for about, give or take, 190 episodes. And that
You're
was
just
like
waiting for the one where I crack, where I break. I'm tired.
I think you just cracked and broke. Oh, you certainly destroyed that church boy image.
Will Anderson also here. Who has been on... Will, when did you start? Like, episode 80?
80, yeah. Right around there.
Okay. All right. Here we all are. This is like the third week we've done live on Mixlr on Sunday. For some reason, I feel like the last couple episodes have been strong. That probably has to be in part that we did like a three-week stint of being live on Twitch. And I don't know, I feel like that just kind of threw off our rhythm or something, but I like just the recording and not seeing your guys' faces.
I agree. If there's anything I don't want to see, it's Steve and Travis.
Yeah, you know, we're mixing it up, and we're only doing the Mixlr thing. I mean, you could say that the Mixlr thing could be as distracting as the Twitch thing, but
not nearly as much, because I don't have to worry about how my hair looks when we're doing it on Mixlr.
That's true. Also, like, Mixlr costs money and Twitch doesn't, so I want to make sure we're at least getting something out of Mixlr. Speaking of Mixlr, I've been listening to a lot of old It's Super Effective, because that's the primary use. If you don't know what to listen to, if you're just bored, if you're maybe newer to It's Super Effective and you're like, I don't know where to start with the older stuff, you could just turn on the Mixlr and something's going to be playing. And I have to say, after listening to some Mixlr stuff, it was like the 160 to 180 episode range. I always sound like I'm tired. Like, there's no oomph behind my voice. And like, oh, that doesn't sound like good. It was an observation I observed.
What era of episodes was that?
What was 60 to 80? That was after our hiatus. That was when we came back from our Kickstarter.
We had a hiatus?
Oh, yeah.
We had a hiatus? No, yeah, we did. It was 150 is when we had Joe from Cerebeon.
Yeah.
And then...
Wasn't there for that one, but I remember that.
You know, sometimes you have to cut the fat when you're...
Well, given the terrible thing I said just like 10 minutes ago, I would probably end up saying that to the webmaster of Cerebeon.
And then we took... What was that? That was probably in like August or something. And then the Kickstarter went live, I think, in September. And then we didn't come back until like November-ish, I want to say.
I don't think it was that long. I thought it was just like a month.
I think it was 2 months.
I just remember I could take like those really nice Sunday afternoon naps and not have to set an alarm to wake up in time to record. I could just sleep and sleep and recover from my horrible long
runs. It's
just
so hard to be up at 1 p.m. on a Sunday.
Dude, you don't even know. I ran over 7 miles today in 90 degree heat. So I need a little bit of slack.
Better than I did, which was nothing.
Yeah, but it's not like anyone's forcing you to run. You're doing that of your free will.
The Marines are forcing me to, because on October 30th, they're going to hold me to task.
What on earth could you possibly be talking about?
The Marine Corps Marathon.
Right.
But you don't like have to do that.
Oh, dude, I paid like $140 to be in that race. That's no refunds.
That's the problem.
I have to do it.
That's the problem with races, is you have to pay to do them. So like, once you pay, you don't get that money back, and it's either I run and get my money's worth, or I don't run, and that money is now down the drain.
But you know what? Those medals that they give out for the Marine Corps Marathon are sweet. Oh, they're some of the nicest medals you can get.
Do you have to come in like top 100 to get a medal?
Or no, everybody gets a medal.
Okay, because I did the color run, and the only thing I got was like blue hair dye in my hair.
Yeah, but that's only like 3 miles, right?
Yes, it was a 5K, I think.
Yeah, that's 3.1 or something. I've never done a 5K.
Well, I think you'd be able to do a 5K pretty easily.
I mean, imagine, since I did over two of them this morning in a row. I'm not a fast runner. I'm more of a tank than a DPS when it comes to running.
Oh, okay. I understand.
So I'm slow and continuous, and I like just hold out to the end, as opposed to somebody who does a lot of damage right up front. But you know, if you're in for the long haul, they don't last. So
more of a road hog than a tracer.
No, a tank.
I'm more of a healer when I run. I like to stay in the back and drink as much water as possible.
you're the dude at the refreshment stand handing out the glasses of Gatorade.
Right, right. When I did the color run, which was several years ago, there was only two water stands, and I was disappointed.
No one wanted to play support. It happens every game.
Why would you have a water stand at all in a 5K?
Because when you're running.
I didn't drink any water at all this morning. Did not take any water with me.
Is that sounds bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like the opposite of what you should do.
You have to weigh the balance. So for me, if it's under 10 miles, I don't want to have to carry the weight of water, because you have to carry that with you the entire time. Once I hit over 10 miles, then I will take water with me. But under 10 miles, I don't want to have that extra weight.
That's why you need to have like the kiosks set up, so you can stop, grab the cup of water, drink, and keep going.
Well, unfortunately, there's no charitable kiosks hanging out.
There should be. We should start a Kickstarter for
just
popular,
random kiosks populated
popular
along the trails of
running
DC.
Routes.
Yeah,
where kiosks are set up.
Well, yeah, I wasn't even doing, for most of my run today, I wasn't even doing a trail. I was going down Lowborough, which is around by the Mexican ambassador's residence and the reservoir, so that wasn't, I wouldn't have come across a kiosk anyways.
Well, we know Will's still running. Sounds like Travis is still playing Overwatch.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, I'm not getting any better.
Is there a lady character that eats a lot of Doritos in that game with headphones on?
Kind of.
Yes and no. There is a character in that game
who is a pro gamer.
Yeah, the character is supposed to be a professional gamer, and she like operates a mech in the game. And so because she's a pro gamer, the fan base in their artwork of her often depict her guzzling Mountain Dew and eating a lot of Doritos. So yes and no, there is that character, but
it's really stereotypical, but it's also kind of funny.
Wait, you don't play that game, Steve.
I've played enough of that game to
know.
Oh,
did you Redbox it?
No, I was in the beta. I was in the early beta before they gave beta access to everyone, so I probably put about 20 hours in.
Oh, intriguing.
And the beta was the full game. They didn't change anything when they released the game.
Right.
Besides, like, reset your stats.
How'd you get in on that?
You just pre-ordered it on Amazon. And then they gave it to you, I think, on like Monday, and then they gave everyone else access on Thursday, and then they extended it like an extra couple days. So I played the entire time.
Wait, so you got it, you pre-ordered on Amazon, you
yes.
played the beta,
uh-huh.
and then you said, this game is not for me, and you canceled your order.
You're 100% right.
Wow. That's like, almost like stealing.
If the game would be for me if it was $20. But it's $60 on PS4, and there's just not enough content. There's not enough game there.
Yeah, even I like it a lot. I've put about 30-ish hours, 30, 35 hours into it. And everyone has said this and has already said it more eloquently than I have. But even on PC, $40 seems like a strange price to pay for a game with two game modes. For just play the game or play the game with little wacky rules thrown in.
Payload, like, eventually they're gonna or have zone control. Like, those are your only two modes.
They do, every week they add it. They don't add. They rotate out different game modes. Like, the one that was, I don't remember what the one is, like, right now, but the one last week was Mystery Heroes. So every time you died, it would resurrect you as a different hero that you couldn't switch out of. So they have like little, they call them brawls, similar to how Hearthstone has the tavern brawl that switch out every week. But just like that, and then the normal quick play seems like a little sparse. It doesn't really matter to me, just because I find it to be a good game to play after a day of doing whatever. It's a good game to wind down for me, so I don't really care. But if I were not already inclined towards that type of game, I would be a little weirded out by the price tag, especially on consoles.
Well, somebody should do like a research project, because I think you can pretty easily say nowadays that if something's a AAA game, it's going to be $60, period, right? AAA has to be $60. Even if it's going to come with expansions later, those expansions cost more money. But it didn't always used to be that way. Like, games were really priced more towards like what the projected demand was going to be. And there was a lot of variation in the pricing of games. But now it's like, it doesn't matter if you're a 5-hour game or a 100-hour game. If you're a AAA game, then you're $60. So somebody figure out what day and date that occurred, and what was the
It was the release of the iToy for the PlayStation 2. Everything just went downhill from there.
I mean, I don't really care how much a game costs per content there, and that sounds hypocritical from what I just said earlier, but like, I paid $20 for Firewatch, and Firewatch is a very short experience and not much changes in it. And then, you know, I complained because Overwatch was $60, and the only difference between the $60 on PS4 and the $40 on PC was there was, I think, 6 or 8 exclusive skins. And to
me, that's worth $20.
Yeah,
right?
That's not worth, like, give me the $40 option on PS4. I probably would have been more likely to buy it. Also, as Will elegantly put it earlier in episodes, I am a game gobbler. I gobbled my 20 to 25 hours in the beta, knowing that if I paid 40 more or 60 more dollars, I would get exactly what I just consumed. And I felt good after, like, I felt as like I got what I wanted to in the beta. Like, yes, I could continue paying. I could continue to play this, but I don't want to pay that much money to continue to play this. Like, if it was in front of me, yeah, I'd play it. I'd have fun. It's a shooter. Great. Cool. But like, I have other stuff to play. And I am one that I appreciate the search, like the grind, I want that carrot on a stick, and there's none of that in Overwatch.
You don't get that rush when you get a loot box and you level up and you hear,
I don't like, the costumes are cool, but they don't do it. Like, it's not the same as a new gun in Destiny where the perks are different, and it's like, oh, I have 4 auto rifles, but this auto rifle has this perk, which may or may not be better, but it's still something that I could shuffle through. And, like,
no, I get what you're saying.
And
sarcastic.
But I mean, like, Steve is a sucker for, like, he just pours his money into the most ridiculous things because, right, Travis, you don't pay attention to Destiny, so you don't know this, but they've announced, like, they're returning one of the most popular rocket launchers to Destiny, Gjallarhorn. But like, if you have a pre-order or something special, it's like, you can get the black Gjallarhorn.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else can't have. And Steve is like, I've already written my check because I've got to have the black one.
Oh, it's paid for. It's pre-ordered.
Okay, Steve, I was actually looking at Destiny on the Xbox One just the other day, and guess how much all current Destiny content, everything, even with the special pre-order upgrades and everything.
I think it's all on sale this week because of their announcement. It's like $30 for everything.
$30 for everything, and then how much for all the add-ons, the special class items, and etc.
I don't know. Those are probably another like 20.
40. So it comes to 40.
For how everything.
Much, yeah, and how much did you pay to get everything?
Oh, easily, you know.
100?
110? I probably put like $500 into Destiny because of all the dances.
I mean, I've put a ton of money into Destiny because I, you know, got the PS4 for it and the Vita for it.
But I've also approached 1,600 hours into Destiny. So the dollar to hour ratio, I think, was worth my while. There are other games with dollar to hour ratios.
Paying if it really is $500 that you spent and 1600 hours that you put in, that's still $3.2 an hour, which that's an expensive arcade cabinet.
Oh, wow.
But the memories, Travis. Pokemon is a thing.
How much of that previous conversation is just going to get cut?
I thought it was good.
Spending like 40 minutes talking about how much money we spend on video games.
It was about 15 minutes. I was looking at the timer because we had 3 minutes of you slipping up before we went into...
Sounds right.
3 minutes of rings a bell. Potty mouth.
And there's only like 15 of our 15 listeners that heard it. And we have quite a bit of listeners. So that's a very small market. All right, let's start off with some Pokemon news. We will start off with the Zoro of Pokemon, Zygarde.
Wait, no, Zoroark is the Zoro of Pokemon.
Does Zoroark draw Z's on things when it shoots Boom. Off its...
It does.
I don't think it does.
With what move?
You just don't know Zoroark as well as I do.
No, Zygarde is the Zoro. The masked... I don't even know what Zoro's catchphrase is. The masked Avenger?
He says, "Hey, I've got a sword." Hey, guess what? You're gonna get cut up.
There was a YouTube. Was it a YouTube video? It was. It premiered at the Taiwan National Championships,
which they had. That's what I was confused they about. Weren't they canceled?
That was the Hong Kong. Footage of Zygarde 10% form and Zygarde complete form in Pokemon Sun and Moon has been revealed. Originally aired at the 2016 Taiwan Pokemon Video Game National Championships, which has been uploaded to the official Japanese YouTube channel, Pokemon YouTube channel. The official Japanese YouTube channel, all of Japan.
I think it's on the English channel now, too.
Okay. Yeah. Zygarde 10% form was shown using moves 1,000 Waves and 1,000 Arrows. These moves exist in the code in Generation 6, but they are currently unobtainable. When at low HP, Zygarde 10% form... What is 10%? Is that the dog?
The doggy.
Okay. 10% form. Ability Swarm Chain... when at low HP, Zygarde 10% form's ability Swarm Change activates, changing it into complete form and restoring HP. Zygarde complete form was shown using a new move called Core Enforcer. This move has a long animation which Zygarde raises into the air, prepares energy orbs at its chest, and then shoots down a B and draws a Z shape on top of the target, which then bursts into fire. While the type has not been revealed, it was a super effective damage to a Garchomp.
Oh, so it's obviously ice.
Or flying? Is flying good against ground?
No, it would be either ice or dragon. It's probably a dragon type move, honestly.
Probably, yeah.
Or if we're getting really, it could be one of the, I mean, we've seen with Gen 6, we saw moves like Freeze Dry and Flying Press that are a bit of a strange take on how super effective works or even how move typing works. So could even be something like that.
Is 10% form the one that stands, or not 10% complete form, that's like the robot one?
Yeah,
got it.
With like the snake head as its chest.
Yep. Yeah.
50% is the one that we know and love from X and Y.
Oh yeah,
looks like okay. A salamander. Mm-hmm. with a strange headdress. 10%.
It looks like a cobra.
The Arbok.
Yeah,
of legendaries.
Yeah, I was gonna. Yeah, you're right. I'll just leave. That is definitely
no.
10% is the dog. Cell. There is like a little amoeba.
Yeah.
And then there's Core Zygarde, which is like another amoeba looking one. And then complete is the robo.
Got it.
It's not actually a robot, but it is. It evokes like mechs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if anybody hasn't watched the footage from the Taiwan National Championships, I recommend it just because it's obviously the first reveal of that ability that converts 10% form into complete form. And the hype in that room was so real.
There's someone going just, like, oh!
No. The whole room. Like you can, it's like you can hear like hundreds of people who are like shocked that this is happening in front of them. It's amazing. It's like infectious too, because then you get all hyped for like Super Zygarde, and then you shed a little tear because Zygarde never got his game.
Well, we only really have these two articles, the Zygarde one and the one I'm about to talk about. So light on news, except the two news articles we have are kind of important. I think Zygarde's still important.
Zygarde's still relevant.
Still relevant, yeah. There will be, after we finish this podcast, E3 will be starting. I believe it starts at 3 p.m. Central Time, and it opens up with EA, and then I think Ubisoft is later tonight, and then tomorrow, of course, it being Microsoft, Sony, and then on Tuesday, Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo will have their Treehouse of Horror.
Yep. So we'll probably get more Pokemon news. I'm confident we'll get a new trailer for Sun and Moon. I'm also confident that they're going to say Pokemon Go beta for everyone starting like this week. I feel like they're going to do that. Especially,
do you think there's a chance that they don't even mention Pokemon Go because they don't want to confuse people? You get people confused between Sun and Moon and Pokemon Go?
Maybe, but like Pokemon Go has to come out before Sun and Moon, right? Like that, yes. that is the hype train for the summer, leading people to go like, oh yeah, Pokemon's cool again. Let's get a 3DS. And also, who got invited to this beta? It wasn't me. It wasn't Travis. Wasn't Will.
Well, I don't have any phone that can play that game, so
I feel like no one got invited. Clearly, people got invited.
A lot of people I know's friends got invited to it.
Yeah, that's the way I heard it. I got a friend who got invited, but I didn't.
Yeah, I was talking to Alan from my other podcast. I do the Tuesday Night Podcast, and he was like, "How's the Pokemon Go beta?" And I was like, I didn't get in. He was like, "What do you mean you didn't get in?" And I was like, "I signed up like everyone else, and I didn't get in." And he's like, "Oh, my friend so and so got in." And I was like, "That's all I ever hear is my friend got in."
I think a lot of people are claiming they got in, but it's not true.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the end of the world. I just think it's funny because there were a lot of people very excited to get in, and the ratio to people who got in to people who wanted to get in is very off.
Yeah, that's how betas work.
Oh, yeah. Unless you're Overwatch. Then you pay up front for the beta, and then you cancel after you get in. All right, the big news here. Korakora. It's this little magazine in Japan.
I'm sure that Korokoro has a purpose other than
showing
Pokemon things when a new game is coming out. But it's weird that unless it does reveals for other games that I don't know about, it's weird to me that in the West it's only known as that magazine that will occasionally show Pokemon things. Because I don't even know what that magazine is about. Is it a video game magazine? Or is it just a magazine about something else that occasionally talks about Pokemon? Pokemon?
I think it's one of those, like, it's kind of like, I'm probably going to say this the wrong way.
Nickelodeon magazine.
Maybe. I was going to say, like, Teen Beat or Tiger Beat, where it's like some of it is fan service for video games, not that kind of a beat. It's more like a news reporter's beat, sir. And they'll have, like, manga. You think you're funny.
Oh, we're hilarious.
I don't think I know.
They'll have like some manga episodes because, you know, a lot of manga is delivered episodically. And then like Shonen Jump, right? That has like manga snippets. So I think it's that kind of a thing because like, you know, I'm also familiar with Karo Karo Ace, which does a lot of the reveals of the Bushiroad and the
Bushiroad
Card Fight Vanguard.
I know.
Mangas. Crossroad. Say that again.
Is that the sequel to Crossy Road?
No.
Oh, Crossy Road's so good.
No, stop. This is Pokemon time. Did you know that Bushiroad owns New Japan Pro Wrestling? That just blew my mind.
I didn't know what
Bushiroad
was.
They make Fight Vanguard.
I only know Bushiroad because of Gen Con.
Well, they own New Japan Pro Wrestling. Anyways, back to magazines. I think there are several magazines in Japan that are kind of like corporate mouthpieces or have exclusive contracts to reveal information for various corporate entities.
Okay. All right.
In this manner.
I got two thoughts on Korakora. One is we only see 2 to 4 pages of Korakora every month. I would be very curious what the rest of that magazine looks like. Maybe even like the cover of it. I have no clue. What is their logo?
Have somebody in Japan mail you a copy.
Yeah, I should. I should ask. I should ask Andrew. Two. Point two is the initial person. Only one person in Japan has a camera on their cell phone, and they kind of take bad pictures every month. I don't know who, you know, Korokoro photographer is that sends these over to Bulbapedia and CeraVe and, you know, all these other internet outlets.
Get yourself a DSLR, dude.
But why is it only one picture? Why do we only have one picture of the page? Why is this person not taking two or three pictures? Get us some different angles. Get us some good lighting. Maybe outside by the pond. Maybe
invest in a scanner.
Yeah, I don't understand. What's going on here? Why are we living in this year 2000 of taking pictures of magazines? I don't understand. I just don't get it.
It's the modern equivalent to the camcorder Let's Play.
It just like reminds me of like somebody sitting in a movie theater with a camcorder just recording the movie. Like they're all digital now. Just, you know, ask the guy who's making $7.50 an hour if you can get the flash drive.
Oh, no, dude, the projector people's union, the union of projectionists, they make a ton of money.
Not, you know, 16-year-old, $7.50 an hour guy that's flipping turn on when...
That dude is not running the projector, I guarantee it.
All right.
Trust me. Yeah, find yourself somebody who runs a projector for movie theaters, you'll find out what a scam that is.
Yeah, right. Projectionists make more money than, like, the... person cleaning popcorn or whatever.
Okay, learning something new here. All right, more importantly, back to Korokoro. We were complaining about this for a reason. This month's Korokoro revealed two new Pokemon. These have to be Japanese names. These cannot be the English names because they're not punny enough to the animals they represent. The first one is Nikorora and Iwanko. Iwanko, it doesn't even matter. They're going to change.
Nekoala?
There's no L in Nekorara.
I saw an L in there.
No, it's Nekkoara.
Oh, well, I think because in Japanese, they don't have the L sound. So
there's no distinction between the R and L sound.
Yeah.
I see. All right.
So it would almost like... Because isn't it more of like isn't the R / L sound like the strange love child of R, L, and D? So it would be like Nekoara.
Something along those lines. Very similar to the short R in Portuguese, I think.
All right.
We broke Steve.
Yep.
And then the other one's a dog. Cool.
Yep. I'll forget
the koala one is the good one.
I've already forgotten these names. I can't even remember what the starters' names in Japan were is now Popplio, Litten, and Rowlet. I don't even know what the original Japanese.
Oh, yeah, those were like really long and difficult to understand.
So the let's start with the let's start with the koala. The good one. The koala is a normal type Pokemon. It has the ability Sure Sleeper.
It's a cool ability.
The new one. Travis will explain what it does in a second here.
Mm-hmm.
It is known for dreaming. It is known as the dreaming Pokemon. It appears to be based on a koala. It's 1 foot 8 inches American height. It weighs 20 American pounds. Travis will let you know what the ability does.
Yeah, if I remember right, I'll look it up and correct myself later if I'm wrong. But if I remember it correctly, the only status effect that can affect it is sleep. So it's immune to poison, paralysis, burn, freeze. It's a little sleepy guy. And
I thought that it's like... It was considered to be perpetually asleep, so actually even the sleep status condition wouldn't affect it because it's considered to already be asleep.
No,
but
I think
yes.
It can go to sleep.
Yeah, it can go to sleep. It just can't be paralyzed or poisoned or...
Yeah, the ability Sure Sleeper prevents it from being afflicted by status conditions other than sleep.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yep. And then the dog is a rock-type Pokemon. This is the little dog that we saw in the second trailer of Sun and Moon, the one that was right outside the house when the trainer left the house.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the second trailer, but yeah.
Well, it was the special Korokoro trailer.
Yeah, it was a special Korokoro trailer. It wasn't like the second English trailer. It has the ability Keen Eye and Vital Spirit. Abilities Keen Eye and Vital Spirit. It is known as the puppy Pokemon. It appears to be based on a dog. It is 1 foot 4 inches tall, weighs 44 pounds. The Pokemon previously, it appeared in the other trailer. Keen Eye, what is that? You can't, Sand Attack doesn't work?
Yeah, your accuracy cannot be lowered. And then Vital Spirit prevents sleep. You can't fall asleep.
So it's the opposite of short sleep.
In a way, yeah.
I'm assuming these are your two Pokemon that appear early on.
Well, I guess they'll need to add in a bird, but
right,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when they showed Fletching and whatever other Pokemon it was, like those were the two you saw early on, Watchhog and Patrat, I should say, and
Patrat, Lillipup, and who was the birdie?
Pidove.
Hey, remember this old It's Super Effective meme? A Lillipup, Lillipup,
a Lillipup.
No, don't remember that. Sorry, don't remember.
Remember last week when I said, I bet these new legendary Pokemon will have alternative forms. Well, Solgaleo has an alternative form known as Rising Phase, in which it is described being like the sun. In this phase,
funnier, the fact that as the Pokemon that's supposed to be the sun is described as being like the sun in a different form, or the fact that a Pokemon that is, like the Bulba News or whatever you're reading off of article described the new dog Pokemon, which is listed as the puppy Pokemon, as being dog-like in appearance.
Well, because it's rock type, so
yeah, it's cool. That
maybe rock. It's like a Bonesly or something.
I feel like this.
On earth is a Bonesly.
This puppy is going to turn into like a Diggersby of like, whoa! I didn't expect that.
Did you just say what is a Bonesly?
Yeah, what is that?
It's the thing that's the pre-evolution of Sudowoodo.
That's Bonesly.
Bonesly, Bonesly. It's all the same. Oh Lord.
It doesn't have an E. It's not like a rejected Undertale character.
How do you say the name of the band of the guy he sings by himself, and he's from Wisconsin and he uses a French name for his band?
Bon Iver.
Yes.
But because he's French.
You don't call it Bon Iver. Yeah, no, he's not French. He's American.
He's from Wisconsin.
Whatever. The name is French.
I don't know.
It means like good winter or whatever, because apparently people like winter, which is absurd. It's the worst season.
Agreed.
Solgaleo has an alternative form known as the Rising Phase.
I don't think that counts as an alternative form.
In this phase, it appears more radiant and its colored accents become more yellow. Solgaleo is seen in this phase during the animation for its signature move, Sunstrike. This information's off Bulbapedia. Bulbapedia, by the way. Lunala has a alternative form known as the full moon phase, in which it's said to call the moon. In this phase, its wings glow white, highlighted with the skeletal structure. Lunala is seen in this phase during the animation for its signature moon move, Moongeist Beam.
I don't think that's a form change like we think of form change, where it actually changes the stats of the Pokemon. I think it's just a cosmetic change to their appearance as they're about to perform a certain attack or something.
You're probably right, but like at this point with Kyurem form and Shaymin form and...
which all change the stats of
a million Genesect forms and
Deoxys.
Giratina's form and Deoxys' form.
Is there precedent for a Pokemon with a form change that's purely cosmetic? I don't think so.
I don't know, but these things have to have alternative forms. Like, what main series legendary Pokemon have we gotten that haven't gone down this road?
Right, but all of them...
Zygarde, Xerneas,
Zygarde has like 17 forms!
Not yet. Xerneas and Yveltal don't have alternate forms.
Do they not?
They do not.
One looks like a shiny bacon, though.
Oh, I'm so tired of you making fun of my bird of destruction.
Bacon of destruction. Magearna, that's a Pokemon that still exists here, has a new ability called Soul Heart, which can raise its special attack stat. The trigger is not currently known. It can learn a new move called Fleur Cannon. Fleur Cannon. There's somebody
remember in Harry yeah. Potter how there is the French girl Fleur de Liqueur?
Yeah.
Yes, Fleur.
And then finally, a special Pokemon Gale disc will include a QR code to obtain Magearna in Pokemon Sun and Moon. This Magearna will be level 50, have the ability Soul Heart, know the moves Fleur Cannon, Flash Cannon, Lucky Chant, and Helping Hand.
I'm going to continue my trend in the last few episodes of interrupting you to correct a thing I said a little earlier. Keldeo is a Pokemon that has two forms that are purely cosmetic in their differences.
Wait, moving on. Resolution? No, resolution form changes the stats.
I don't believe it does.
Oh, sir, let me get on the internet to dispute this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like Landorus and them have different forms.
Yeah, but those are different.
That also change different stats.
I know. I just like every legendary mythical Pokemon has a million forms. It's fine. It's whatever. It's just. It gets confusing at some point because these forms like they don't follow a certain pattern.
Right. I don't think there's any difference between resolute form and whatever you would call the normal.
Well, then what's the point of having resolute form?
Because it's cool that if you get the right move on it, it changes its appearance and it's a little.
Yeah, that's
if you get
the
secret
big
sword. It's like a little like ooh.
The big question here is what's the there point?
Does it change its ability?
Nope. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure if memory serves, it's been a while since I've had any competitive team that had a Keldeo on it. And if you're playing against a Keldeo, I don't remember having to remember any difference if it is in resolute or the ordinary form when fighting against it. So
on the TCG, Keldeo can rush in.
Yes, I guess it's it's just it learns, it gets the move Secret Sword. That's just so whatever. Keldeo had like the worst Pokemon movie of all. So there you go.
That's, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. You know what else makes sense? That we're done with news and we should take a break. When we come back, I got three emails pulled up. I have some pin debacle that we can talk about, and then our Pokemon of the week. And we are back. Sometimes the breaks are long, sometimes they are not. Let's do some emails here. If you want to send us an email, you can do so sbj@pkmncast.com. You can also go to pokemonpodcast.com, hit that contact button. Two ways to email, whichever way is easier for you. We'll read any and all emails eventually. Let's go through our emails. This one is from Chris C. Hi, SBJ, Will, Travis, and anyone else that could be on at this moment. I'm a young listener, as in the 7th grade, I listen to your show as often as I can. I have been interested in Pokemon since I was 2 when I first saw it on TV. All I remember is that since then, I've been saving up all my allowance for cars, toys, and games. The latter was kind of difficult until I got my Nintendo 2DS and Pokemon Y, which I still play. I have one question that I would appreciate you being answered on the show. I was wondering which type you think has the most Pokemon without looking it up online. Thanks for reading. Chris from Michigan.
It's either water or normal.
I know the answer, and I didn't look it up.
I'm going to guess water.
Yeah, it is water. I actually don't know what the second most. I think the second most might be normal.
Flying has to be up there, too.
Yeah, it's but most flying types are normal, so.
Right, yep. Right. There's a lot of normal Pokemon that like Jigglypuff. Well, they're also normal fairy. But you have like your Pidgeys, your Rattatas, your Bidoofs, your Stoutlands, Lillipups.
Patrats.
Are you just going to list all of the normal type Pokemon? Because we'll be here a while.
That would be quite the episode.
Are we correct? Before we move on, we better actually make sure that we're right, that water is the most populous type.
Ooh, it actually might be normal.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Then Will wins.
I'm on this Bulbapedia article, so I don't know. The abundance of Pokemon type combinations, it says, this doesn't seem right. Because they're separating it out by, it says normal has 60, but normal flying has 23. So just straight, if we're looking at a straight single type Pokemon, normal has the most in 60. If we're looking at straight water type Pokemon, it's number 2 with 58. And then straight grass type Pokemon has 33. But then that's not taking in account like flying bug. There are 14 flying bugs. 20 pure fighting. 23 normal flying. This is a very detailed chart.
It's very scientific, yeah.
26 straight electric, 15 straight fairy, 3 dragon dark, 2 ice dark, 1 ice dragon. What's the 1 ice dragon? Is that Kyurem?
Kyurem.
Yes.
0 electric psychic. I think the zeros are more exciting. 0 electric dark, 0 electric psychic, 0 fire fairy, 0 fire grass. Oh, that would be cool.
Grass fire?
Yeah. You could be like a Savannah Pokemon. 0 steel ice. 0 ghost fairy.
I don't know
fairy.
What fire and grass has to do with a city in Georgia.
No bug fairy. No bug dark. No bug dragon. No bug ice. No bug psychic. Wow, that's a lot of types that could be done. No rock electric. No rock ghost. Really? No rock.
There's a ghost ground in the form of
That's what I was thinking of. No ground fairy. No poison fairy. Poison fire? Nope. Poison steel? Nope. Fighting fairy? Nope. Fighting ghost? Nope. Normal ice? Normal dragon? Normal dark? That's all a no. Normal rock? Normal bug? Normal ghost? Also a no. There's a lot of types.
There's no dark fairy type Pokemon, so we're not going to get the Pokemon equivalent to the Neopets video game on the PlayStation 2, the darkest fairy.
No fire ice. I don't know how that would work, but...
I mean, we got fire water.
Yeah, but that one makes sense, because it's like steam.
Does it?
Yeah, steam. It's like Obama snow, like grass, ice. That makes sense, because it's like a tree, like a winter tree.
Well, you got me there.
Well, Kyurem W could have been fire ice, but they decided not to do that.
Right, yeah. What a good question, though. I am amazed at how many types don't exist, like fighting fairy.
And I'm glad that for a seventh grader, we can provide a level of appropriate humor coming from Travis.
You're never going to let me live that joke down.
Nah, we'll probably forget by next week. But
yep.
Luke B. writes in. In all caps, hey, the Shaman Giratina movie is so good. Sorry for that. I am Luke, by the way. You guys are my favorite Pokemon podcast to listen to by far. Much better than insert bad Pokemon podcast here. I'm not making that. That's what it says. So you guys can.
I mean, that seems, the thing about that show is you'd expect them to at least come up with a title.
I know.
Will is my favorite co-host. Not saying I don't like Travis or Logan.
No, I get it.
Question.
It's fair.
Question. Do any of you play Pokken or Smash and will be willing to play? I know Will plays Destiny. I know you will play Destiny with the PS hashtag PS4-less. I started listening to you guys around episode 160 and you got me to play Pokemon and... You all got me to play Pokemon Shuffle, yet I never got into it and quit one day in. In my opinion, Pokemon Ranger is one of the most underrated spin-off games in the Pokemon universe, or should I say the multiverse. The game is so good. If you haven't played it, in my opinion, it's one of the best games. Isn't there like 4 Ranger games?
You got your Shadows of Almia, you got your Guardian Signs, you got your original Pokemon Ranger, which I don't think had a subtitle, and those are the only ones I remember.
In my opinion, it is the best because of so many features, and it is extremely fun back in has extremely fun back in time missions and make it so much more fun that you should try it. Thanks for reading. One last thing. Keep up the good work.
So the Pokemon Ranger, we were talking about this on Twitter, but the Pokemon Ranger games have gotten re-released for the Wii U Virtual Console. I know they have been in Europe, but I don't know if they have been in the States.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were announced this week.
That would be sweet. Except no special missions, so you can't get the Manaphy Egg.
I don't know. They might find a way to edit or fix that because they definitely did that for Red and Blue and Yellow. But I guess what's the point? Because you can download Manaphy right now.
Yes, exactly. There's really no point to it.
Right. All right. Last question here is from Tantabus.
Dude, it's in front of you. I have no idea.
That's what I'm going with.
It sounds like a word.
My apologies if I slaughtered your name. They write in, you wake up with a pounding headache after a night of drinking an unhealthy amount of pokey potions. You don't know where you are, and you are approached by four Pokemon, a Gardevoir, a Jinx, a Lopunny, and a Braxen, each of them carrying an egg. They all claim to have bred with your Ditto. This is getting weird.
It just sounds like a typical Saturday morning.
You may choose one egg to raise as your own. Which one do you choose, and which one do you send to the distorted dimension? May Arceus have mercy on their souls.
What were my options again?
Gardevoir, Jinx, Lopunny, and Braxen.
Why would I send any of them to the distortion world?
Well, you can only pick one. That means the other ones you don't know what happened to.
Why can I only pick one? I have a sufficient income and I'm a responsible adult.
Hey,
I have a team of six. Yeah, Travis, you go first because I'm completely emotionally wrecked by this question.
Gardevoir is a cool Pokemon.
And it does lead to a lot of options, right? Because that egg could turn into a Gardevoir. What's his name? It's like I'm having a brain freeze.
Galad.
Could turn into a Galad.
I remember
Garman and Garwoman, my two favorite Pokemon.
I said Gardevoir.
I was listening to the Mixler. We've come full circle. And I think it was like episode 112 or 113. It was when we first started talking about fairy type or maybe even prior to that. And I remember Travis being slightly upset because Gardevoir would become a fairy type.
Yeah. But I think I like it now. I've come around. Fairy's a really, really cool type. One of my favorites. It's no ice type, but it's good. I don't remember things well. How am I supposed to remember new type effectiveness?
I mean, I'm with you. Mostly about the million different forms Pokemon can have now. If I was to pick one of these eggs, it would probably be the Braxen, because I like Delphox and I like Fennekin a lot.
I'd go for probably Lopunny, because Mega Lopunny is real cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't answer.
It's a fighting type.
Yep.
Yep.
The previous email asked if we played Smash or Pokken.
We play Pokken.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, I mean, if enough people wanted to get together and play Pokken one night, I'd be all for that. But I don't play Pokken just nightly.
I don't have a Wii U.
I've come to terms with I've reached my quota on how good I could be at Pokken, and it's not very good.
I'm really bad. I just button mash in that game. I don't even try. Give me Gengar and that's all I go for.
Go to town with that.
Oh, but I actually did pretty well with Chandelure too.
Chandelure's cool. You can't complain with that Pokemon. All right, let's jump over to PokemonCenter.com. Let's talk about some Pokemon.
We have an item of the week.
We have an item of the week. He said there was a scandal. It's not really a scandal. Not a lot of these pins have reviews, but the Team Rocket logo Zubat Rattata Pokemon pin, it is a 3-pack for $18.99. They have some reviews.
Are you going to give us the link so I can read it in a funny voice?
Yeah, I'll send it over. There it is.
We have so many versions of this chat open.
We had a lot of technical difficulties before the show. Still... Jolteon watch. Still no Jolteon pin. in the store. I will read the first review here. Lovely pins by Ariel N. Quotation Mew from California. Just got these today and I love them. They are pretty nice size and the pika-shaped pin holder is a nice touch too. The only thing I can complain about is the lack of Meowth in this set, since it's the Team Rocket Pokemon. Still awesome pins, and I'm surely buying another set too. 5 out of 5 Pokeballs.
I'm just spoiled by how good that review was last week.
Yeah.
By good, I mean great.
I don't think we're gonna top it, but Travis, you want to read the other review here?
Yeah, I'll read the name last because that's the only funny part. This is a 4 out of 5 Pokeballs review. 1 out of 3 people found it helpful. These are great pin collections. I just wish that with the Team Rocket logo, they included the Pokemon from the show, Koffing and Ekans. Otherwise, these are awesome. And that's by Dunkmaster 3, the Pokemaster.
It's weird that I want to like these pins, but when you're selling me 3 pins for $19.
Oh, and one of them is just an R.
That's hard to swallow.
It doesn't even have multiple colors. It's just like a kind of pinkish R.
Will, do you want to read the bullet points and how they're trying to sell you this?
Are you down with Team Rocket? Grab this awesome Pokemon pin 3-pack featuring the Team Rocket logo and 2 of Team Rocket's favorite Pokemon. Number 1, Team Rocket team pack with team logo and the Pokemon Zubat and Rattata. Number 2, official Pokemon pins. Number 3, number 3, Pokemon Center original. Recommended age, 60 years and up. Country of origin, made in China. Material type, zinc, alloy, hard enamel. Item weight, 0.1 American pounds. Item dimensions, 0.25 American inches. 7 American inches height, 3.8 American inches length. I really, really doubt that these are 7 American inches tall.
Probably the box. Really?
Warning, choking hazard, small parts, not for children under 3 years.
Functional sharp points.
Pin contains functional sharp points. Not for children. Ooh, we're 7 and up now. Now it's not for children under 4 years. Because like at 3...
You can choke.
At 3, you know, like, I shouldn't swallow a thing that's going to kill me. But you don't know I shouldn't poke a thing into me that will...
I shouldn't poke myself.
It says functional sharp points, not for children under 4. And then above, it says recommended age 6 years and up. Would you...
I think just because of the mature themes.
Yes, those 5-year-olds are in the gray zone.
I know a lot of 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds. I haven't been around a 6-year-old in a while, and clearly in 2 to 3 years I will be around a 6-year-old because kids, spoiler, their age gets older with time. But would you give a pin to
just spoiled the ending of Kids.
Okay. All right.
Would you give a pin to a 6-year-old? I feel like that's still kind of dangerous. Because pins are pretty sharp.
Okay, so the issue isn't the kids themselves, it's the parents. And there are a lot of really dumb parents out there because it does not take any kind of education to have a baby. But to actually raise one properly takes a little bit of intelligence. So yeah, that gap,
mediocrity. We know this narrative.
That gap is where people are using the Team Rocket pins to hold the diaper together. That's what you got to watch out for.
I also don't think like a 6-year-old would be that enthralled with a pin. Like, yeah, you could put it on their bag and they probably would leave it alone. But I feel like they're short. Attention span would be, okay, I got the pin, now I don't care. Moving on to the next toy in line. Also, why is it too bad?
What's it do? Can I plug it into my Skylanders and have it bite?
Why is it a Zubat and a Rattata? Why is it not a Koffing or an Ekans?
Well, okay. I have a little bone to pick with that particular argument because Team Rocket changes out their, like... the Pokemon that they use as the generations go on. So honestly, if you really wanted the core Pokemon that they truly love and feel are part of their team, you'd want a Wobbuffet and a Meowth. because Boba Fett keeps coming back.
I don't think it's supposed to be the Team Rocket from the anime. I think it's supposed to be Team Rocket from Generations 1 and 2, and they would often use Rattata and Zubat.
There's also that. You are correct.
Yeah, but aren't you going for mass appeal?
No.
Apparently not.
Clearly not. All right. Pokemon of the Week. This week's Pokemon of the Week is Stoutland, the normal type Pokemon. The big hearted
normal type Pokemon.
The big hearted Pokemon, as the Pokedex claims. It evolves from Herdier, which evolves from Lillipup. It is, well, Lillipup, I feel like, is the original puppy Pokemon.
I agree.
But now getting passed up from this new Generation 7, the hot stuff's coming in and pushing Lillipup and Stoutland off to the side.
And it was my first shiny
Lillipup?
I ever caught. I caught it as a Lillipup, but I evolved it into a Stoutland.
Interesting. Stoutland is a canine Pokemon with a talent for rescuing people lost at sea. What? Wait a second. Can Stoutland learn surf?
Possibly.
I think it can, actually.
It can, yeah. I just scrolled down. All right, fair enough. Let's continue reading. Stoutland is a canine Pokemon with the talent for rescuing people lost at sea or in the mountains. On its face, it has cream-colored fur that forms voluminous white-tipped plumes and a three-point crest. The plumes are so long that they run the length of its body and bunch close to it. It has tufty pointed ears with blue insides, a black nose surrounded by the short black whiskers, and small eyes that are nearly hidden behind its facial fur. Its body is covered with shaggy fur that is dark blue along the back and grayish blue towards the legs. This fur is thick enough to protect itself against freezing temperatures. Its face and paws are light brown, and each paw has three toes with white claws. Blue paw pads can be seen on each paw in the Pokedex 3D Pro app. Product placement there. 50% male, 50% female. Travis has a moveset.
Stoutland is a really cool Pokemon, specifically because it gets access to Sand Rush, which is an ability that makes it so that, well, first, you're immune to the effects of Sandstorm. You're immune to the damaging effects of Sandstorm. But more importantly, your speed is doubled under Sandstorm. So what you can do is run Stoutland in a sand team with a choice band. So your speed goes from the normal 80, which isn't that great, to 160 when you're under Sandstorm, which is a lot. And your attack is already 110, which is quite good. So slap a choice band on there, and you're not only going to be outspeeding a lot of Pokemon, but you're going to be one-hit KOing a lot of them. Even a lot of walls, too, because you're just dishing out so much damage. For EVs, so you're going to do an Adamant Nature with 252 EVs in attack and speed, 4 in HP or defense or something. And then in terms of moves, you want Return just for the highest base attack normal move you can get your hands on. Crunch. So I guess in going into Crunch and the other moves, the other ones will just give you better type coverage, and since we're doing choice band, we just basically want 4 attacking moves. So we're going to do Return, Crunch, Superpower, and shoot, what's the electric move? It's Wild.
Wild Charge?
Yeah, Wild Charge. So it's Return, Crunch, Superpower, and Wild Charge. It gives you pretty good type coverage, and I mean, just normal type on its own gives you good type coverage, with the exception of Steel and Rock. And both of those you cover with superpowers. You've got a lot of your types covered. Oh, and Ghost you don't have, but you can get that with Crunch. So you've got a lot of types covered, and you're doing a lot of damage with a pretty regal looking dog.
You said Sand Rush as the ability.
Yep. Yeah. Because otherwise, like, I think So Stoutland actually got some play in VGC 2011 when the rules stipulated that you could only use Unova Pokemon. If I remember correctly, it used the Intimidate ability, because I don't think we saw weather that very much that year, because we didn't have access to Pokemon that would set it up.
Yeah, I mean, like, Tyranitar is your typical sand streamer, right?
Right, which we didn't have access to. And I don't think there are any Unova Pokemon that did. I mean, it's, like, again, that was 5 years ago, so my memory is a little hazy. But I think in that version, they ran it with Intimidate, because that ability is just so great in doubles, because it hits both the opponents. And if I remember right, that was a pretty physically heavy meta that year. So I think there was a Stoutland maybe even on the winning team that sort of caught people by surprise. But other than that, you're typically going to see it with Sandrush, because that's going to cover the weakness of the only 80 speed.
Shiny Stoutland is definitely shiny. It's more of a green than a blue. And its face whiskers, which are normally like a cream color, they're like a gold, which is really cool. Will has one.
Yes.
Are you satisfied with the shininess of your shiny?
I think I'm very happy with it. I can't remember if I gave that one away or not, but the golden
How many Pokeballs out of 5 would you give it?
I'd say a 4.
A 4 out of 5, right.
Yeah, because that golden mane is like what makes it.
Yeah. Not that much trivia here. Stoutland was based on the combination of a Shizu, and a Maltese with some characteristics of a Yorkshire Terrier and a Scottish Terrier. Its talent
for just every kind of dog.
Right, its talent for rescuing humans in mountains is similar to the Saint Bernard. I don't know dogs that well, so that doesn't mean much to me.
Saint Bernard is the one that has the cask of like brandy around its neck. Wow, that just shows our age difference, because that used to be in all the cartoons.
we should just jump back a little bit and talk about our thoughts with the koala and dog. We didn't actually do that.
The koala is cool.
All right,
it's
moving
got a cool
on
ability. It's hugging a little stump, which is funny because koalas hang on to trees. It's cute.
Are there are there koalas in Hawaii?
There are no koalas in Hawaii. Right. There are
Pokemon so unreal.
What are the stomach pouch mammals called?
Kangaroos.
Marsupials.
So marsupials are only in Australia. And koalas are marsupials.
All right.
What I was going to say is every year at the Pokemon Company International, there is a contest to determine who will design the Pokemon that can sell the most plushes. Who will sell the most stuffed animals? And obviously, these are two top contenders, because people are going to buy Nekoala merchandise until the end of days, because it's going to be everybody's favorite one to have as a stuffed animal.
Do you think the koala is going to go down the same path as, what is it, Pangoro?
Is it going to turn dark?
Or just like a,
no,
or like
I
a
think
slacking,
it's,
where they're just like lazy...
I think it's going to be like a slack off, vigor off, slack king kind of deal, where it's going to like have a middle evolution that's like has what is it? Well, Vital Spirit's one of them, but there's another one where it can't ever fall asleep.
Insomnia.
Yeah.
Is that what Worry Seed gives you? Yeah, it gives you the insomnia ability. But I think there might even be a third one that has the same effect.
I just like,
and then
we already
its
have
final evolution will
Snorlax.
Be like super bulky and super sleepy.
Also, I looked it up, and there are marsupials in the American continent as well.
Oh, that's right. Aren't possums? No.
Yeah, something like that. But it just says on the Wikipedia page, it says there are 100 species of marsupials found in the Americas, particularly in South America, but 13 in Central America, and one lonely species in North America, in the north of Mexico.
Which is what, possum?
Oh, it's, I guess it's just north of Mexico, so maybe it...
No, because there's no possums in Mexico. Possums are up here.
Oh, yeah, they are. I don't... We've already seen, like, that sleepy, lazy Pokemon in, like, Slaking and Snorlax. Is that the main...
We've already seen dog Pokemon. We're getting another one. Why can't this be another lazy Pokemon?
We're getting a rock dog. That's a little different.
But it's... I think... I mean, its ability...
Is the main quality of a koala to sleep?
No, but they're super cute.
Yeah, but aren't they also, like, super dangerous? Don't, like, more people die from koalas than they do...
I don't think that's true, but I do believe
more
that koalas
koala
are...
More koala attacks than shark attacks. You heard it here first.
I believe that koalas are more violent than people expect them to be.
I would be okay with, like, a very attack-heavy mobile evolution of the sleepy koala instead of going down like the, oh, it's just like another Snorlax.
I was going to say, if your entire diet consisted of one kind of leaf, you'd be in pretty bad mood as well.
What about the dog?
What's for dinner today? Oh, eucalyptus again?
Yup. Every day for the rest of your life.
Is it pandas and koalas just eat eucalyptus?
No, pandas eat bamboo, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They bamboo it up. All right, rock dog.
Yeah. I'm showing my ignorance.
All right, so I immediately got angry texts and otherwise about what makes this dog rock. And to that, I would answer with the question, what makes a go-goat grass?
What makes a chair a chair? Ugh.
Look, I'm out of college. Those days of philosophizing of the essence of a chair are behind me. I would rather keep it that way.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Would you stop? This, we do not need to lower the intelligence quality of this podcast any lower than it has already fallen.
I did just say that pandas only eat eucalyptus, and somehow you managed to make it more dumb than that.
So it has a stone collar. That's what makes it a rock type.
Mystery solved.
Also, I can imagine why. You know how dogs, when they're wet, they do the shake off. They shake off the water. I don't know what the technical term of that is.
It's called a.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I can imagine with my imagination. That the rock dog shakes, but instead of water coming off, like little pebbles come out of it.
Oh, that's one dirty dog.
You know it. You know it. Yeah, I like my dogs dirty.
Is that going to be the new tagline of It's Super Effective? It's super effective. What a dirty dog.
But I think that's good to lay out a Pokemon and say, this is what it does, and for you to imagine that, oh yeah, I could imagine that Pokemon being real. Sure, the only Pokemon I imagine not being real is Basculin, but we can move on from that.
I mean, Emboar is normal type, or not Emboar, Pyroar is normal type for some reason. So,
is that normal fire?
Yeah,
it's a weird one. Yeah, a rock dog though, that's cool. I'm happy with both these Pokemon.
Drapion is dark type for some reason. Drapion, it looks poison bug.
Real cool.
Drapion is a very cool Pokemon, but it doesn't make sense why it's dark. Why it looks
because it's more evil than it is buggy. So the evil part
it fights
wins.
Dirty. It's a dirty Pokemon, Travis.
It's super effective. What a dirty dog.
Patreon, if you want to support the dirtiest of dogs, patreon.com/itssupereffective. We might do a mini podcast sometime this week, depending on the sun and moon news we may or may not get.
Depending on the phase of the moon.
So we're unsure with that.
Mars is in retrograde, we might do a mini episode.
We don't know what's coming this week, if anything, but if it's enough to warrant a podcast, we will be podcasting. Otherwise, emails sbj@pkmncast.com. You guys have anything else before we wrap up here?
I believe you have tickets available for a certain event happening in August.
That's the good thing I asked. Yes. So Gen Con is this August, the first week of August. And we've established here on the show that there will be a very large Pokemon booth in the vendor hall of Gen Con. I don't know what's to be at said vendor booth, but Pokemon TCPI is hosting certain events at Gen Con. A lot of intro to the trading card game and normal league play and stuff like that. So I was like, maybe It's Super Effective show, a live show there, podcaster, getting pretty... Like, Gen Con, to me, a couple years ago, didn't seem like a podcast place, but as Gen Con has grown, I was like, it doesn't hurt to, try to get a room. And my request was a little bit later than it should have been, but Gen Con came back and they said, well, we can give you a room with AV equipment, microphone, speakers, but it can only hold 60 people, and that would cost money because the AV stuff. Or we can give you a room that holds 100 people with no AV stuff for free. So I took the room with no AV stuff because I would rather have it hold more people. And I'll figure something out. I have my own speakers. I can make something work. So I don't even know what's in this room. I don't know if there's chairs. I don't know if there's tables. There's clearly not a microphone or speakers, which I have a solution for. But it's very last minute. There are tickets if you go to GenCon.com. If you are going to Gen Con, just search for Pokemon or Pokemon Podcast or It's Super Effective. Any of those terms should find you. The event is free. It will be Friday night at 6.
Well, let's be clear. Gen Con is not free.
Gen Con is not free. The event is free. It will be on Friday night at 6 p.m. If you're going to Gen Con, which you should, if you like games, if you like Pokemon, if you like conventions, we will be there in some capacity. What that is, I do not know. But we will be there. Cool. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. We'll be at Gen Con. E3 is this week, so if you're into video games that are other than Pokemon, enjoy yourself. Travis is at the Travis W. Will is at Wash in the Sink. I am at Dragging a Lake. You can follow Pokemon Podcast on Twitter for updates. But otherwise, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. And we are
super effective. Super what a dirty dog.